Thank you, Pastor Jeremy and Sally. That was great worship. You know, that rain was there, when was it? Oh yeah, it was just yesterday. Wow, that was great. How many of you had to scrape your car this morning? Huh? I mean, scrape off the car. No, it was just great because you have a garage. I don't. So, it's awesome. Walking through life is such an adventure that I know I could write a book about it. In fact, I'm sure that each one of us here could write a book about our journey of faith. It's much like the Snoopy in this cartoon. Look at Snoopy here. There are a lot of people around who have real problems. Maybe you should write a book that would help people. Think of the worst thing that can happen to someone and then write about it. Snoopy starts typing, what to do when your beagle leaves home. I don't know what the title of your book would be. But today the title is Praying with Problems. And I would almost guarantee you that there are some people here today that there are some problems that you want to let go of, that you've been trying to let go of, but you just cannot seem to do it. Well, I'm hoping today will help some of you. So turn to James chapter 4, and I'm just going to read this before we get going. James chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 1 of James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, praying with problems understands that God is all you need. God is all you need. See, I'm not concerned anymore about things that I don't have answers to. I used to be distraught over things that I wanted to know, that I had to know. I just wanted to know. I was always trying to figure out everything. I mean, I wanted it all figured out. Well, you know, God will meet my need, but where is it going to come from? He is the source. So we try desperately, though, to figure out everything. I mean, we come to God and we pray to him about our problems, and we fax him our solutions all at the same time. We say, God, you know, I've got this situation, I got this problem. I mean, he knows you're in it. And then we start saying, and here's the way I think it needs to go. This is the outcome that I want to see. We fax him our solutions. And then we wonder why we're not happy, why we don't have any joy. See, we have a lot of strife in our lives. Strife is just turmoil. It's upset. You know, we not only have strife in relationships with people, but until we learn better, we have a lot of strife within ourselves. And James chapter 4 tells us why. And I think it's very important for us to learn this point, that God is all you need. See, the Amplified Bible puts it this way, what leads to strife, discord, feuds. How do conflicts, quarrels, and fights get started? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever wearing in your bodily members? See, he's basically saying that all of this strife comes from the things that we want. We want, we want, we want, we want, we want. We want. In James chapter 1, it says this. It says in the New American Standard, you can put that up there for me, Nathan. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Another translation says, wanting nothing. You know how peaceful it is when you don't want anything except what God gives you? When you don't want anything that is not the will of God? When you're satisfied to say, God, I am content with what you have given. I'm content with this situation I'm in. I'm content with my life. I'd like to have this and that and all this other stuff, but I don't want it out of your timing. I don't want it out of your will. That's why, you know, when I heard on Friday about the land, I got to tell you, I was content. Because I don't want it out of God's timing. I don't want it out of God's will, the decision that he has for us. Because he's got a better place, a better will for us, a better time. Godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is a great thing to have. To be not just wanting something so bad that it keeps you stirred up all the time, you know? That's what I call the 3 o'clock in the morning stuff, you know? 2 a.m., you're awake and you're going, oh, I don't know how I'm going to purchase that big screen TV, but I'll do it somehow, you know? Oh, I'm sorry, that's me. You're involved in my life for a moment. There are things that I want, but I can honestly say I don't want any of them so bad that you just keep me stirred up all the time. But that, you got to understand, that wasn't always my testimony. Because I used to always be stirred up over everything. Always stirred. I was stirring lots. I just wasn't creating anything with my stirring. Except a lot of dust. It says here about lust, another translation says. What is lust? Lust is not just a strong sexual desire for someone. Lust is anything that we want so bad that we cannot be happy if we don't have it. See, lust is anything that we want so bad that we cannot be happy. We can have no joy until we have it. And you just cannot. Actually, no, you will not be happy unless you'll get what you want. Talk about creating problems. That's a sure way to do it. We create our own problems sometimes in ourselves. Lose our own joy. It's kind of like this video. Take a look here. It'll help you understand a little better. You know, we create our own problems, don't we? Ashley Brilliant said this. He said, my biggest problem is what to do about all the things I can't do anything about. Boy, that's brilliant. See, we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, what am I lusting after? See, I just can't be happy if I'm not married. I just can't be happy if I have to stay married. I can't be happy if I don't have a bigger house. I can't be happy if I don't get a smaller house. I can't be happy if I don't get a new car. I can't be happy if I don't have more money. I can't be happy if I don't feel better physically, you know, spiritually. I'll tell you something. I'll let you in a little secret. As long as you think that you cannot be happy until you get rid of your problem, you will probably keep it. You'll probably keep it. Because let me tell you something. Jesus is our joy, not the absence of problems. The Bible calls us overcomers, and I've chatted about this with some of you. To be an overcomer, it means you have to have something in your life to overcome. We're overcomers. If we're overcomers, we have to have something in our life to overcome in our life. That's part of our life. And believe it or not, the struggle is really good for us. You might not think so. And I oftentimes say to the Lord, please, Lord, I just want to be shallow. That's all I want. I want a shallow life. And he says, oh, you're not going to get it. Guaranteed. The important thing about a problem is not its solution, but the strength that we gain in finding the solution. Maybe you heard this before. I heard about this, and I thought it was fascinating. Little baby eagles, when they're in the shell, they have a little tooth on the end of their beak, a little tiny tooth. And when it comes time for them to be born, they're in the shell, and they just keep pecking away, you know, peck, 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 peck. And it takes them forever. And you can see the shell just kind of moving there, peck, 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 peck. And it's actually dangerous to help them get out of that shell, because they need the struggle. Because the struggle helps them prepare for the eagle life. There's a lot of baby eaglets in the body of Christ that are always trying to get somebody to keep them from the struggle. And therefore, they never become eagle Christians. What causes strife? All the things you want. Well, praying with problems understands God is all you need. Praying with problems also understands God is all you trust. See, verse 2 says that you want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. You see, we should not ever look at other people and dislike them. I mean, that's what it's talking about here. In the Amplified, it says, you're jealous and you covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder, says the Amplified, as far as your hearts are concerned. We should not ever look at other people and dislike them because they have more than us, or be resentful to them, or be jealous because of them. Because when you do, when you act like that, you are not trusting God. You're wanting what somebody else has instead of what God has for you. Don't be jealous. Don't be resentful that someone's married and you're not. Don't be jealous that you're married and they're not. don't be jealous of someone else's place or their car, their leadership, their power, their promotion at work, their friends, their clothes, the shape they're in. You know, you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger and you think, man, he's even running a state down in the South, and he looks good, you know. Don't be jealous of others' long, beautiful, thick hair. If you've got limp hair, just take what you got. Do the best with what you can. God counted the hairs on your head the same as he did on theirs. I mean, we need to understand. God is all you trust when you're walking through a problem. One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet. I mean, how can I be happy if I'm always looking at what somebody else has got, what they have, and say, hey, I want that. Here's what it says. You burn with envy and anger, are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, the happiness that you seek, so you fight and you war, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as the hearts are concerned. That sounds pretty strong. To hate is to murder? He's saying if you hate people, well, I know, I don't hate anybody. Well, you know, there, we put these little gray areas up. We do. We put little gray areas. I don't hate. I've never used the word hate, you know. You know, we use other language. We don't maybe use it so strongly because we think we're not supposed to. I don't really like them. I don't hate them, but I don't really like them. I don't think God gives categories like that. I mean, when we're jealous of other people, our feelings toward them are not right. And really, the feeling we have inside is, I want to take away from you what you have. I don't want you to have that. I want it. Well, really, in us not wanting them to have it, we're wanting to do them harm so we can be blessed. Or sometimes we don't mind if they have it as long as we got something a little bit better. You know? We always want to be just a little bit up on somebody else. All I want, I got to tell you, all I want, I just want to be happy. I just want to have some peace in my life. That's all I want. I don't care other people have. I just want the joy and the peace that only God can give. Because you know, when it comes right down to it, maybe I don't have it because God knows there's no way I can take care of it. There's no way some of us even can take care of what we got. We always want what somebody else has, but maybe we're not gifted, maybe we're not even equipped to take care of it. I love the end of verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. If you want joy from God, you got to ask for it. If you don't get it, then either believe that it's not God's time, it's not God's will for your life, or he knows there's something better in your life and that he wants you to have, and you don't have enough going on in your life, or you have so much going on in life. God says, hey, wait, you don't need to add something else. He's going, and in my time, I will lead you through this. You will go through this struggle, but in the end, you will come out soaring like an eagle. Stephen Covey said, the way we see the problem is the problem. See, often our eyes are on our problems instead of on our promise. The promise is, God's not going to let me down. God is not going to let me down. I mean, if he tells me to do something, he is going to be right there with me. If I'm leaning on him, he is not going to let me down. He's never let me down. Sometimes I've let him down, but he has never once ever let me down. Something the Lord really pressed upon me in a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, and it keeps on coming back he keeps reminding me, and so it must be something important that he wants me to keep in my mind. I was having a time of fellowship and praying with the Lord, and it was just like he just sat right there and just said, Dev, I want you to know that everything in your life, everything, the rest of your life, is taken care of. See, I've already laid it out. I'll always go before you, he said. Everything will be taken care of before you even get there. You know what? I believe that's for everybody. The Bible says he's laid out a good plan for our life that we might walk in it. How are you walking? He just wants us to walk it out, trusting him, leaning on him, pressing against him, allowing him to carry us through the struggle times, allowing us to lift us up when we're hurting, to care for us when we're hard-pressed, when we're downtrodden. God just says, I want you to know that you can trust me, and I'm all that you need. You might not understand what's going on. You don't need to understand. See, trust is not knowing everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference what we're going through, as long as God is with us. I don't want anything. I don't want anything out of God's will. I don't want anything out of God's timing. Praying with problems, bottom line, it involves trusting God. Praying with problems understands that God is all that is needed. God is all that can be trusted. And God is always working. You see, if you look at verse 3 in this passage, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The Amplified says, or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. You see, not only do we need to learn to ask God for things, but even more important, we need to ask with the right motive. See, motives, that's a whole other subject, whole other area. I can't get into today because I forgot my watch. I don't even know where we're at as far as time goes. But you know, it's the why behind the what that God is concerned about. I mean, God knows why you do some of the things you do. Don't kid yourself. He knows what. Oh, I got to go. I got to talk to this person. I got to get this. Oh, man. Maybe if I take Joan to Future Shop when that big sale's going on, and I time it just perfectly when they're putting the demo TVs on sale. You know? See, God knows what you're doing. I mean, He may not deliver us from what we want to be delivered from, because He may prefer to work something in us and is actually using our circumstance, using our problem as a tool. I mean, there's sometimes God, we don't like what's happening in our life, but sometimes God is going, oh, just wait. Just wait. There's greater things to come. I'm taking you on a journey of a lifetime. There's greater things to come. I mean, I found out that I would pray that stuff would just go away, and then I'd say, you know, but if it didn't, I'd say, God, I just must need this. I must need this if it's not taken away. I mean, there's peace, there's power in praying like that about and through your problem. You stop wrestling, you stop fighting everything that's going on in your life. See, God knows better what you need than you realize what you need. See, God knows better what you need than you realize what you need. See, well, we always want everything in our life that affects us to change. You know, Lord, just change my situation now that I'm in. You know, Lord, I just don't like walking this journey. Just take it away from me. God, I just, you know, make things better. You know, may my spouse really treat me better. Lord, may my kids really understand me better. You know, we want everything to change. We want people to change. We want our circumstances to change. But often, God wants to change us. It's you God's after. Not your circumstance. Not everybody you know. Not your problem. It's you. And this is important. I'm going to say this. Listen carefully. God is always working in our life, no matter what we think or how we feel about it. God is always working. But He may not be working in the area of our problem or in the area of our preference. I mean, this is how it is. We want God, you got to work on our children. And God's working on our attitude. You know? Lord, look after our finances. And He's just looking at trying to develop patience in us. We want God to be over there doing this. And He's over here doing that. God is always working. But not necessarily in the area that you want Him to work in. But if we trust Him, then we believe that whatever He's doing is right. And so when God starts dealing with us about something, there's no point in saying, God, no, not that, no. Wait a minute, hold on, God. I'm not ready for that yet. I mean, if that's the place that you're at, then that's what you're ready for, because God is smarter than you are. I like the passage that we read this morning that Pastor Jeremy had us go to 1 Peter. James chapter 5 says, now listen, I'm going to take out you rich people because we're all blessed here. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. And it goes on and on. And it talks about a warning to those who are manipulating the system and those who are hoarding And those who want. That's how you know. Those things pass away. But God never does. See, God will always do the best for us. No matter if we don't like it. No matter if we don't like walking it. God will always do His purpose. And He will use us to achieve it. God works all things together for good. It doesn't say that all things are good. It says God will work together for good all things. Even the bad thing that Satan may try to bring into my life, if I'm trusting God, God will take that bad thing and He will use it to work good in my life. It will work more patience in me. It will work compassion in me. It will work the fruit of the Spirit in me. It will work endurance in me. It will work spiritual maturity in me. It will work more appreciation in me. That is why we must always be praying with problems, because we're called overcomers and we need something to overcome so that God can do His good work in us to His glory. Let's pray. So bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I just have a question. What is it that you're lusting after? If you think about it, maybe you can't even think of something right now. You need to say, Lord, reveal what it is I'm lusting after. Is it your want? Is it something you want? So bad that you can't be happy until you get it. I'll tell you, once you get it, you're going to be unhappy again. Because that cycle keeps going and going and going. Then I'm going to ask you, if you've got that in your mind right now, what it is you're lusting after, could you say to the Lord, here, Lord, take it. I leave it with you, and I don't want to pick it up again. I'm leaving it with you to look after however you want to, so that you get the glory. Father, this morning, passages like this that are just kind of tucked away in your word, often we don't like looking at them for too extensive amount of time because, Lord, they tug at our heart. And Father, we know that this passage today speaks very clearly of what causes quarrels and fights among us. And it's the desire of what we want. Because we lose sight of what You want in our life, Lord. And so today, Father, we surrender ourselves to You as Your people. Lord, very clearly You are leading us. And we praise You for that. And we know the struggle, Lord, is not easy while we're here. But we know, Lord, that trusting in You is all that we need, because You're always working. May that be our focus, Lord. Not just today, not just this week, but for a lifetime. We pray that You would be glorified through us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.